Welcome to episode number 42, My First Job.
This is the Rotated Views Podcast with Jimmy Lee and the crew, giving you life from various perspectives. Welcome to our level. We hope you enjoy the views.
All right, you are now tuned in to the Rotated Views Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Lee Velez. We are here with the full cast. We got Goose, Heck, Manny, Gabe, and our special guest, Scott Free DeVore. The title of this episode is My First Job. And in this episode, we discuss our first jobs, how we landed them and why, what we did with our first paycheck, our kids and their first jobs, childhood actors, conversations with our kids about working and managing money, and our advice for someone attaining their first job. We wrap the episode up with quotes from Joseph Campbell, Aristotle, and Confucius. All right.
What's up? What's going on, fellas?
What's up, sir?
So, with my first job being a theme, we went to dictionary.com to find job and employee. Job is defined as a post of employment, full-time or part-time position. And define employee as a person working for another person or a business firm for pay. So, I figured let's get the topic out on the table. My first job, thought it'd be something interesting. And as usual, we'd like to kick it off with a story. And I got this one from www.jobmob.co, and it's titled Tales of Corporate Oppression. And it goes like this. I once got talking to a guy whose job it was to go into a company, sit alongside the system admin for 2 weeks, and write a professional audit on his processes and practices. Naturally, the system admin would be on his best behavior, showing off all the clever things he did to keep the company's computer network ticking over. At the end of 2 weeks, the system admin would be then fired. There would never be any audit, and it was just a method for the company used to replace their IT people without disruption, making sure the new guy was trained up and the old guy didn't cause any damage before he left.
Wow.
He got played?
Can you imagine, though, that's your first job, and this is the company that you're working for, right? Bunch of sleaze bags.
That's a super underhanded way to do that.
Yeah, that is the most coward way to fire somebody. I mean, by far.
Clever and coward, though, because at this time, the guy thinks he's doing an audit where, in truth,
he's showing you all the tips and tricks and all.
Showing you the tricks and tips that he has so that he can do the job next. Yeah.
Okay, but here's my thing. Okay.
But it's still a scumbag move to do. Like,
here's my thing. This guy, you know, needs to bring money home, even if he stinks at his job, even if he deserves, let's say, to get fired.
Right.
I mean, come on. You want 2 weeks from me? You give me 2 weeks, right? I mean, let's not be that way. That's terrible. If I owned a company, I mean, unless someone, it is. Don't get me wrong. The genius inserted in this method is hilarious and borderline. It's you got to give them credit where credit's due.
Yeah,
that is clever as anything. Absolutely. And I feel like I heard that before. Maybe not to that strategic, extent, but. All right, so the next one is from careerbuilder.co.uk titled Interview Crashes. All right, so it goes like this. One of my first jobs as supervisor was to interview candidates for administrative assistant. Lee S. recalls we scheduled a full day of screenings. Following a very wet and rainy day, some of our office roof was leaking and maintenance had a couple of buckets in the hallway. Not a great first impression, but hey, it was a quaint old office building. Each applicant had to complete a battery of written tests as one candidate dutifully sat at a desk outside my office. I heard a swoosh and then a huge splash. The ceiling tile just above the candidate had collapsed under the weight of the rainwater and drenched her. Wet but unharmed, the experience clearly dampened her spirits and her prized interview suit. She immediately informed me that she was no longer interested
in the job.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That is hilarious.
I mean, wow. You're hiring people. Why don't you hire somebody to fix your roof? No?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's true.
Good point.
Maybe you should talk to them.
Good answer.
I'm just here
delivering the story.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. But, you know, maybe they're like in a historic part. I know, Goose, you're in a historic Bristol, Pennsylvania. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a bunch of old buildings.
Yep.
And I'm sure, honestly, I read this and wasn't surprised at that happening, but I can see it is your first, you're trying to make a first impression, and then the job themselves, the employer, is not making a great first impression.
Yeah.
But seriously.
There was a girl who I hired last year for an old company, and it was the first person we hired. And her first day was when we moved into a brand new office. It was one of those furnished offices. Mm-hmm. So her first day on the job, she moves in, and the office is like completely like empty. And she just had this look like, what's going on here? I thought you guys were like a real company. So I had to explain to her, no, this is legit. We're just moving in. And guess what? Your job is to help us furnish this place up. So, you know, I kind of saved it a little bit. But, yeah, she had that look like, man, are you guys even real or not?
This is some shady stuff going on here. I know if I were to go, well, for the interviews that I've gone to, I definitely was trying to go to make a first impression, being that my hair was on point. You know, my tie was perfectly knotted. Mm-hmm. My hair was on point. Thank you to
it's
Goose.
Usually always on point. So that's never a question.
Well, thank you. And my suit is nicely pressed. Mm. Now, if I'm going in there and I pick out my best cologne and everything's going for me, the last thing I'm thinking is a ceiling tile knocking me over. Honestly, I would probably just laugh.
Yeah.
And I would still ask for the job. I'm like, now that's, you know, that's
well,
all,
you would think now,
no, now the cards are
more
I'm
secure.
Looking for
yeah,
advantages
yeah, yeah, yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah
secure
that's
spot.
An advantage. You know what?
They owe you that job.
Oh,
like
how the tables
more.
Have turned.
Yeah.
Did prior candidates have a tile fall on top of their forehead?
And completely drenched. Yeah.
Okay. It's already got a workman's comp case. I mean, it's like, this is unbelievable. What an opportunity.
I never walked into, not thinking about it, I never walked into a place like, you know, you go to interview them. They're interviewing you, right? But at the same time, you're interviewing them. And now thinking about it, I never actually walked into a place and like audited the place. Like, what's it look like? What's it, you know, what's the feel? Mm. I never did that. Not thinking about it.
I
and
did
now that
I worked at Old Navy.
I definitely did. Oh, well.
Well.
That got you far.
How old were you?
Last week.
Oh, well, I mean, it happens. But yeah. I mean, in every job I had, I never like interviewed or audited the place to look at. Like, oh, that's leaking. I don't know if I want to work here. Did you ever do that?
I understand what you're saying. Well, because there's so much going on in your head anyway. So you're just kind of like, I mean, I'm not going to say I inspected a place, but I definitely looked around and just kind of like.
You do a quick analyzation. You analyze.
You can tell.
What you're walking into.
Yeah, you can tell. A lot of things, though, too. I mean, which I'll talk about is a cleaning job that I had. My mom boss just telling me, he's like, dude, it smells good. It distracts people from what the actual visual is. It's another sense taking away from the visual. So
if
it smells
so
good,
true.
Even if the place is dirty, if it smells good, you're just kind of like, but it smells
good. I went to the bathroom today at work, and it smelled amazing. And I look into the sink, and they had like 3 air fresheners and all these like these girly soaps in the men's room.
Yeah.
And the smell was amazing, and it didn't bother me that there was like paper thrown all over the floor after that. I'm like, what is going on here?
It must
be
clean.
But the smell was like unbelievable. I just went to the bathroom. I was like, doo-doo-doo, and just kept on walking after washing my hands. Huh?
It's a good strategy.
It is. Very good. I didn't realize that now that you said that.
That's why I bathe in cologne. Before.
You bake your cologne?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's bake cologne,
cool
guys.
Water. Yeah, I'm like Manny. I don't usually audit the building, but I'm like auditing like the people I see.
Yeah.
I'm smart in that dude.
Last time I did that, I didn't get the job. I'm smarter than him.
Well, you can't show it.
True.
Yeah, I mean, it could be in the back of your mind. Like,
I was trying to size him up.
Or the guy walking to the bathroom, like, oh man, is this guy going to interview me? And he walks in the bathroom, like, yes, that's not him. And then some other.
And then he
monsoon,
comes out of the bathroom.
Yeah, without washing in his hands, like, welcome.
And shakes your
to
hand.
The Rotated Views. All right, so I would just go around the table here, and Scott, we're going to start with you.
All right.
What was your first job?
My first job, man, I got a great first job. Believe it or not, my first job was McDonald's.
Nice. Oh, nice. Classic.
Yep.
Very nice.
16 years old, and I remember, like, back in middle of 2000, you remember when they were doing those TV commercials, like my first job, and they had like these celebrities, like this is for McDonald's, and like Macy Gray
was one.
Yep, yep, you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Like I felt cool after that, because I guess my first job, I was 16, so that was probably 95 probably. Yeah, 95, so like 10 years later.
Wow.
So here's how it went down. So my best friend Drew, he comes up to me and he's like, hey, man, we're going to go work at McDonald's. And I look at him. I'm like, dude, I was like, man, I can't work at McDonald's. He's like, oh, dude, you got to do it. It's going to be awesome. Like, because, you know, most of our friends that I used to play basketball with, they all work there as well. So he talks me into it. So I go with them for the interview. And, you know, this lady's like, okay, you know, you guys are hired. Once you come back on Saturday. So we filled out some paperwork and everything. And the lady who's like the manager, classic, she was like Humpty Dumpty with like a mustache. So this big, like Humpty Dumpty looking lady with like a full mustache, right?
Nice.
So I'm 16 years old. And she's like, okay, we
without
need
a mustache.
I still don't have a mustache. I'll be 38 next week, man. People think I'm still 16. But anyways,
it's great.
This lady's like sizing me up, like all in my pants, like trying to figure out my pants size. So now I'm like getting violated by this Humpty Dumpty lady with like a mustache. So I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm doing this. So I'm like, whatever. My best friend's going to work there. His brothers are already working there. There's some other people working there. So this is like middle of the week. So then Saturday's like our first day. So I show up on Saturday and I'm figuring, okay, you know, whatever, we'll get through. It'll be fun. And usually, like, my best friend, I might have mentioned this the first time I was on a show, this guy's habitually late. So it's like late. It's like 10 minutes late. He's not there. 30 minutes late. He's not there.
Huh.
The whole day, he never even showed up.
What?
Right?
Oh, wow. Man.
I'm like, I'm pissed. I'm like, what? So that first day is over. I call him up. I'm like, Drew. I'm like, man, what's up? He's like, today was like our first day at work. What's going on? He's like, man. He's like, I can't work at McDonald's, man. You're crazy. I couldn't work at McDonald's, and you talked me into it. So,
wow. Anyways,
it was probably like in the wintertime or whatever is when I got started up. But the way our McDonald's was set up is that our drive-thru section was separate from the regular section.
Yeah.
So they had this conveyor belt. Well, before I get to that. So you had to like put in your time before you can work drive through. But my one request was, if I'm going to work here at McDonald's, because I don't know why I thought I was like too good for it. But I told him, I was like, if I'm going to work at McDonald's, I'm going to work drive through. I was like, day one, like, I'm not going to put in my 6 months or whatever you need. Like day one, if I'm going to work here, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to cook anything. I'm going to be on the register. So they're like, okay, you know, you can work the drive through. So they let me do it. So anyways, the drive through, like I said, was separate. They had a conveyor belt. So usually I worked with somebody, you know, in the drive-thru, and this little thing, I don't know if you've ever seen a McDonald's that's called, you know, I worked with some people who were like, you know, hackers. So they knew how to hack the system. So they taught me some tricks early on where if you ordered something like that was wrong, and then if you wanted it for yourself, then you'd take it off the person's like receipts before they pay for it. So we would order like Sundays and like Big Macs, chicken nuggets to send to us up in the different section. So then when the person came around to pay for it, you know, we just take it off the bill. So then like, you know, he never knew what was going on. So it was great.
Wow.
So
awesome.
That lasted maybe a few months, but then it kind of ended for me when they made me work on Easter. So it was like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months that I'm there. So like Easter Sunday, they like scheduled me in. And I'm like, I was so pissed off. I'm like, man, you're going to make me work on Easter? I was like, man, forget that. I'm not working here. Quit. But the funny thing is, like, I didn't really celebrate. Not that I didn't celebrate Easter, but it wasn't really like an important holiday. I just used it as an excuse just to quit. So that was my first job, man. Mickey D's.
Wow. Nice. I love that. That's classic. Yeah. I like how your friend Drew. Is that like a joke still? Like an ongoing joke that you got played? Yeah.
No, they stopped being friends at that point.
Like, so the next job, we both worked there at a different place. It was Burger King. Telemarketing company selling like magazine subscription renewals. Yeah. So I kind of pulled the trick on him. I didn't like not ever show up, but like after like 2 weeks. I basically told him, hey, I just basically walked out. I said I wasn't working here, and he stayed. So I got back at him, but not
next time. That's good. Way to get back at him. He's like making more money than ever. Successfully employed. He owns the company now. It's called the Drew Estates. But no, I had a question. What were your hours at McDonald's? Because I know that's always a topic. Well, I think I don't know if it was back then, but now I know they're open. Like they got crazy hours now.
Yeah, it wasn't anything crazy. I mean, I was in school, so it was right after the basketball season. So probably end of February is when I started. So because it was during the school, maybe during the week, maybe worked from like 5 to 9, and then probably put in some more time on the weekend. But you know, I knew some friends who were not, I wouldn't call him a friend, but a guy who I went to high school with, he ended up dropping out of high school just to become an assistant manager at 16. I'm like, really? This is your career path? You know, you want to become assistant manager? You know, and he was making like, you know, $18,000 a year, like it was a great thing, but, you know, to each his own, you know, that's what he wanted to do. Good for you.
So, but you did mention that there was other people, other basketball friends or whatever that worked there. Did you have fun there? I mean,
yeah, we had a great time. It was like the happening spot. So, you know, I'm from Hagerstown, Maryland, and this was the McDonald's on Dual Highway. So Dual Highway, Manny's been through Hagerstown.
Absolutely.
Shout out there, H-Town. So anyways, it's like right in the center of like the strip where like people like cruise the Dual, right? It's kind of like, you know, corny, but that was like what people thought was cool to do. So it was like right in the middle of the strip. It was always busy, lots of people. So people who worked there, not everyone, but like there was people who, you know, kind of got like some street cred for working there. So that was part of that was part of the deal. Yeah. But now that part of town, it's like all like, you know, gangs and drugs and everything. So it's not as cool to work there anymore.
It changed 20 years. That's hilarious.
Yeah, 20 years later, the city's in ruins.
That's funny. All right. So now that we heard, you know, the infamous Scott DeVore first job story at Mickey D's, what was your first job?
My first job was landscaping.
He's a landscaper. He's always cutting something.
I was, I'm always grooming something. I was 15. I remember we had in high school. While I was in 15, I think I was in seventh grade or eighth. I was in eighth grade.
So yeah, you're like an old eighth grader.
No, 17.
What the?
I don't even know.
Well,
he did
graduate at 21. So,
yeah, he graduated last year.
I don't even
year.
Know what grade I was in anyway.
It was last year.
No, so we had a student teacher. He would come and he was like, he would help out in one of the our math classes or whatever. And I would talk to him and he always dart right after school was over. I'm like, I see you flying by as you leave it. And he's like, oh, yeah, I own my own little landscaping company. He was like, so as soon as school's over, I go and do that. The spring started, so I go cut grass. And then the busy season is in the summer, whatever. And I'm like, oh. He's like, he goes, yeah, sometimes I need help. I need whatever. I have my kids or my neighbors help me out, whatever. I'm like, yo, I'll help you out. Like, I just threw it in there. Yo, the following week, he's like, yo, are you serious? Do you really want to help me cut grass? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I never forget, he came and picked me up at the house, had his truck. He's like, yeah, just bring like water, whatever, so you don't dehydrate. Actually, school was over, so it was beginning of the summer. And I jumped in the truck with nothing in my hand. He's like, did you pack a lunch? Did you bring? I'm like, nah. Like, I didn't know. Like, I just like was just going to work. I didn't think about breaks or anything. Like, so we stopped at a 7-Eleven and I remember he got me like a big ass bottle of water, and then we pull up into, it was like, wasn't far. I lived in Bristol Borough, so we worked in Levittown, cut like grass in Levittown or whatever. And then he's like, he was excited. He got an account for Bristol Borough. So I'm like, cool. It's like right where I'm at. I didn't know the account was a high school. So he's like, yeah, we got to cut the high school grass. I'm like, all right. I'm thinking like groom the front of the high school, whatever, which isn't too big.
Yeah.
We pull up into the back of the football field, and he's like, yeah, we got to cut this football field. Meanwhile, all he had was walk behinds.
Oh, no. Oh,
so man. I actually had to cut the whole football field, like, walking behind this thing back and forth. And it was a big size, like, lawnmower, but still over, like, you think about it, over 100 yards plus, and you're just going back and forth and back and forth.
Wow.
And I remember that was like, dude, do I just, like, stop here? Do I quit? Like, do I leave in the middle of this whole thing? I'm like, nah, he needs me, whatever. So, after that, like, after I did all, he left and went, did, like, another, he worked on another project somewhere else.
Yeah.
He comes back, and I was, like.
Still alive?
Yeah, I was, like a quarter finished, and he's, like, looking at me, like, kind of, I seen, you could tell, like, he was, like, disappointed, because he probably would have, like, banged out real quick.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, still, like, learning the tricks of these big lawnmowers. Yeah.
He's, like, passed out on the whole lawn.
So, and he was kind of, like, happy that I finished the whole thing, and he actually gave me, like, I don't even know. It was like a 50 cent. Like, first, I think I started off at like $6 an hour. Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, I'll give you $6.50. I can tell you're dedicated. I don't know if it was like his test towards me on like cutting this major. But I lasted like a summer with him. And then I think I did the following summer.
Yeah.
But then that following summer, I was like 16. So I was old enough to get like a real decent job and whatever. But cutting grass was. Oh, and actually, I never forget. That the second season, he was doing oil changes on all his lawnmowers. So he drained out all the oil. And he's like, yeah, put oil on all these, all the lawnmowers. I'm like, how much do I need? He's like, a quart and a half. In my mind, what registered was half a quart. So I put a half a quart on these lawnmowers. Yo, we seized like two motors.
Oh,
I did anyway. God. He's like, we're driving, right? Like, we go to the next, like, our whatever, the job site. Cutting, and I'm watching him because we're both doing the same like lawn, and his thing is like putting and smoking. He's like, I see him working on it, whatever. He comes up to me, he's like, yo, how much oil did you put in that? I'm like, a half a quart. He's like, he just rolled his eyes and walked away. Yo, and I see him
fired instantly.
Yo, I see him. He got like another lawnmower that was working and towed the one away. And then I finished what I was doing, and he's like, yeah, that motor seized, and he goes, the one you're using is probably about to die too. He's like, that's not enough oil or whatever. And I didn't know him 15 or 16. I didn't know the difference.
Did he pay you or you had to pay him?
Nah, but I think I might have worked it off somehow. I don't know. Nah, he didn't charge me anything, but yeah, I definitely probably like, he was definitely in negatives that year.
But did you help this guy at all? I mean, I know there's a bunch of bring downs.
Yeah.
He was disappointed. You seized three engines. I mean, like
he was a detriment to the business.
He was gone 4 hours. He comes back.
You
barely
out
cut
of business.
Field, I still got
and
paid,
the following year, my brother Miguel started his first landscaping company.
Don't change the oil.
Oh, man. That's hilarious,
actually. Yeah, but I was...
you know what? That's incredible,
and
though.
It's funny now, because I live in that same area that I start cutting, so I drive by these houses. I'm like, yo, when I was 15, I used to cut that grass.
Yeah.
Like, their lawn. I used to do their lawn. It's
That's cool.
Yeah, and I see, like, I'm like, yo, you drive by, you can see the houses. But I'm like, yo, in the back of the house, they have, like, a nice in-ground pool, blah, blah, blah. I know the ins and outs. It was pretty cool, though. Yeah, no, I was still, these guys were still in the basement on the bucket that time.
Yeah, he was still chopping off our ears. So, but that's interesting that this guy would give you a chance, even though,
2 years.
Because I would think, like, for me anyway, that's like landscaping and, you know, that's a physical, that's an aesthetic thing. So you're looking at him like, I don't know if I would give the reins to a 15-year-old
I think
kid
I was definitely
for,
a burden
like,
on
the
him.
Appearance.
I feel like I definitely was like
you sounded like
because
it.
Well no I got stuff done I just gave dude I seriously you. I banged out what I had to do I really did like work it off but like his total frustration was like if I was 16 I had my license I can drive and do this part of the town and he can be on another part of town in an hour's time he can double his. But it was just like he would drop me off with all the equipment and he would go somewhere else and he would have to come back, tow me to another spot. Like I felt like it definitely was a lot for him, and he was trying to get as much as he could done with extra help. But
yeah, he quit as a teacher and a lawnmower. Yeah.
This guy is now Goose, just like
Goose. Totally just made him drop out of doing what he was doing.
Nah,
under a bridge, drinking away his woes. So how old was this guy? How old did you guess?
He was young
at that time. Was in his like. Mid-20s? No, early 30s. Yeah.
Early 30s. Okay.
Yeah, early 30s.
His name was Scott DeVore. All right, so, what was your first job?
My first job was...
The meatpacking plant.
No.
Cheerleader.
No. Hey, that's part-time. That was extracurricular activities.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Spell it.
Correctional? So, my first job was... at this place called the Magnet Gallery, and it was literally in someone's garage. And a buddy of mine took me in. He's like, yo, how old are you? And I said, 14 years old. He's like, all right, we can. I think we could probably use them. I mean, I'll talk to the people, see if we can use you. And it was nothing but magnets, stickers, and glue. Okay, so I walk in.
This is in a garage,
and this
right?
is in someone's garage, and there's about 20 people working there.
What?
It was 20 people working in there.
That's actually impressive.
Very impressive. So now
he's impressed.
I had no idea what I was doing now. So basically, you had to get the sticker of whatever.
Let me get this straight.
Whatever.
So you were in high school.
I was
you were
14
not only
years
a
old.
Cheerleader. But prior to that,
who
you made,
said
you,
I was a
you
cheerleader?
Made jewelry at the Magnet Factory.
Yeah. And believe it or not, it was like definitely like butterflies and dandelions and stuff.
No, we believe it.
Yeah. So they were like butterfly shaped magnets, but needed the sticker on there. So we had to glue the sticker on, and then or even glue the magnet on the side, depending on the shape of the size. So everything was like glittery and like. Fuchsia, magenta.
Right
and
up
like,
your alley.
Your type
perfect.
Of world.
Fairyland.
All fluorescent colors.
Wow.
Yes.
Loved it.
So
I thought they outsourced that all the time.
Well, I was, let's see, this was maybe 1996, 95.
He was outsourced.
I definitely was outsourced. So I worked there one day.
So you want a sweatshop?
It was kind of like a sweatshop. Yeah, it was kind of like a sweatshop. I worked there one day. I was, doing whatever. I thought I had it, I thought I had the job,
But what were
I knew
you
what I was doing?
I
was gluing stuff, just gluing these magnets onto the stickers.
Were you correctly gluing?
And
the
then
stuff?
Yes, I was. And then I was, and then I would insert them into like the plastic baggies to package them. So I go in that day, and the guy goes, "Yeah, we can use him. We can use him." So I'm sitting there, and my buddy's standing next to me, and we're working and doing our thing. So the next day. My buddy picks me up, and he just drops me off. And I go in there, and I go start working. And I was there. It was only like maybe like 3 hours. I would go in at like 4 and get out. Not even like 2 hours maybe. I would go in at 4 and get out at like 6. So it wasn't nothing.
What in the world?
It was definitely horrible.
Sounds like the most illegitimate thing I've ever heard.
Third day.
Heck was the oldest person working there.
No. There were definitely older people working there. No. So it gets better. So the third day... My buddy goes in and he picks me up and we go in and we walk in and I start working and whatever, we're getting everything ready. So it's like I was there maybe for like 20 minutes. So then the boss calls me over to the side and he goes, "You're terminated." I was like, "How much am I getting?" I thought I was getting a raise. Yeah. Did not know the terminator means you're gone, you're fired, we don't need you anymore. So then I'm standing there and he's like,
"He thought you meant you're the terminator."
Yeah.
Okay.
I said, "I'll be back." He said, No, you don't keep me back. So I'm looking at this guy and I like I look at Julio, Julio goes, "Nah, man, yeah."
So he got Hector and Julio working for him.
"Nah, no, you're fired, man."
So legitimate. It's a great business.
He goes, "You're fired." And I was like, What do you mean? I don't
but why did he fire you?
I just wasn't keeping up with the numbers that they wanted, like the amount of magazines.
At day three.
Did you get paid per
and I
hour?
Never got, and I never got paid. I never got anything.
You need a paper.
I didn't get paid for anything.
Oh, how long were you there?
That's their scam.
Remember that? On Buddy the Elf? When he's making those etching sketches?
Yeah.
He's like 87 in an hour.
Yeah.
And I like 2,000. Shoot, Hector.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so... Basically, I was baffled, didn't know. I walked home crying on Pond Street.
With like a sticker on his chest. He's like, here, a butterfly sticker.
He's like, here, take this. You're number one anyway. And I put the number one sticker on my chest.
Oh, man.
It was the most. Too good. I just like realized like I did not know that I wanted to work. Like,
did you agree to a price? Like, how much were you supposed to make?
I was supposed to make $6 an hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's what he told me. He was like $6 an hour. So, yeah.
Meanwhile, he was supposed to probably work from like 4 to like 9. He was just leaving when he wanted to.
Yeah.
Everybody's going on break. Hex.
No,
like, we're done.
No, right,
we're
I was there for 3 days. I was literally there for 3 days.
3 days. He ends up smoking cigarettes, hanging out with the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
Him and Julio. No. That's great.
At 14.
But, yeah, that was it. So then, that's funny. I just retired for the rest of the summer.
So you can't even
retired. He got terminated and ended up retiring at the age of 14.
You can't even call it a job. You never got paid.
True.
Yeah, he didn't quit. He got terminated.
I got terminated. So technically, it was a job.
Speaking.
It was a volunteer job.
Yeah, I volunteered my services.
Yo, he worked enough to pay taxes.
I worked enough to get their one shipment done for free. That they didn't have to do.
Oh, man.
Pretty much is what I did.
You know what? Good for them. All right, so...
Bless their little heart.
Manny, what was your first job?
My first job didn't last too long. The first couple didn't. The first job I actually was hired for but never actually went was Burger King. My mom made me go at 16. It was right after basketball season. We're going into baseball. She's kind of an old school parent and said, you know, this is it. You need to start earning, you know, your way. I was like, my dad was like, no. Now my mom started to work at 8 and my dad started to work at 9. So at 16, you know, at 16, they were like, you're way behind here.
Well,
bro.
Yeah, they
you're
put that two numbers together age. Like 15.
Yeah. He's
we
like, yeah,
15 total. You're 16,
yeah.
You should work.
You should start working now. So anyway, I go to Burger King and she says, you know, I go through the whole interview. And she says, all right, good. You know, you're going to be the nighttime supervisor. What's a nighttime supervisor?
What is up with the supervisor, like, names that these places throw at people?
I was 16 years old. And first of all, I didn't even get that far.
50 cents more an hour as a supervisor than the...
But how does a 16-year-old kid get a supervisor position?
That's where I got thrown off. I was like, she's like, yeah, you're going to have to close the store up. And I was like, looking at her, I was like, No, I don't even have keys to my own house. Yeah, I don't have keys to my house. I'm going to close up this bit. No. So anyway, I just kind of yelled at her. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. She's good. You start Monday. Never went. I never showed up. My mom's like, how did it go? I said, good. I got the job. Come Monday. She's like, what happened? I was like, I'm not, mom. I was like, no, you're not taking me to Burger King. So I just told her no. I never went. I actually had my dad co-sign. He's like, Terry, he don't need to work. Well, I was playing sports in school, blah, blah, blah. So that was the first job I technically got or was hired for but never went to. But my first job that I actually went in was my mom got me a job where she worked as a, I don't even know what you call it, a line worker. What would that be? I was working the factory line, packing trucks in the summer. You know, they were very vague about where I was going to be. So the second week they put me in a truck.
So inside one?
Yeah, so the whole place is air conditioned, right?
With a bunch of other people?
No.
Are you sure you were working?
Yeah, right. So I go into this. Now, mind you, I'm 18. I'm in college.
That's called human trafficking.
Yeah, that's what it was. So how the factory was set up, there was, you know how you go to the meat store and there's the plastic see-through separate the two buildings where it's cold in the freezer? Right.
Yeah.
So I'm on, you know, the first week I'm on the cold side, the warehouse side of things. And, you know, they're like, here, just stack up boxes on pallets. You know, it's perfume and all this stuff. So I'm like, okay. The second week, I never knew what was in the plastic, like what was through the plastic. But as I walk through, there's just trailers. When I walk over there, it was like, it was 70 degrees and it was like 110 in there.
Yeah,
You've been in the trailer before.
I've worked there. Yeah. I used to drive a forklift there. Yeah.
So they left me there with 24 pallets and they said, here, we're going to do, it's the international load. I need you to load this for the day.
With hand trucks.
And it was, no lie, I was there for three hours. The first 3 hours, I was like, I'm good. And that day, for whatever reason, I took Hydroxycut. Remember, in you know, a couple of 10, 15 years ago. So Hydroxycut, if anybody knows about it, you got to
still file a lawsuit against them.
Yeah, I should. Well, the first 3 hours, you take like it was a gradual step down. So you had to take like 9 pills or something. I think I read the directions wrong, but anyway, I took
yeah, 9 pills backwards.
So he thought it was the V-Pack.
Yeah, my man's taking a handful of Skittles in his mouth.
I took them all. And I was on fire for the first 3 hours. I remember going to the supervisor, walking by. I said, "That's all you got? All good." My mom asked me. She's like, "You all right, bud?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I was good to go. I was like, "Yeah." As soon as that wore off, by 10:30, I remember sitting on top of a box, like just slouched over. And a guy goes, "What's the matter? I thought that's all I got." I couldn't even come up with words. My mom's like, "Money, you okay? You okay, money?" And I'm like 18. My mom's yelling, "Are you okay?" Asking me. I'm eating lunch. Meanwhile, she's packing me lunch. Like I was sitting there with a mustache and a beard. Like, "Thanks, mom. Thanks. I appreciate that, mom." And Papa, you get it. And she's rubbing my head, telling people all these weird stories. I'm like, oh my
That's
god.
That's my son. He's my boy.
He's special.
Yeah, he is.
He's my prize.
Long story short, all that, I was 40 hours a week, and it was like, they agreed upon, it was like $7.85, right? So I worked through, what was it, temp agency. Well, the temp agency, I didn't realize,
took a cut.
It was $125. I showed my mom the check. I was like, "Mom, it's $125. And she's like, "What?" She looked at the check. She made me quit. She said, "You're done. You're not working for that." Because I was in, no lie, it was horrible to be in. It wasn't the worst conditions, but for $5 an hour, essentially is what it came out to be. Yeah. It was 40 hours. They were getting an 18-year-old kid I was breaking my back doing what they were asking me to do, because it was all heavy. Like, it was gallons of stuff. So they were like 40, 50-pound boxes all day. She's like, "You're done." So I didn't get fired. I just let... My mom made me quit. She just
made mommy me made me do it.
Yep, I couldn't
that,
even.
That could have paid for some Jordans, man. Yeah, I would have left too.
Man, but then it actually worked out, because then I got a job a week later making $8 an hour driving a car delivering part.
Yeah, so you appreciate that.
No,
that job driving. If
the
you
driving.
Had that, if you didn't experience that, and you would have been driving like, this is horrible.
A horrible
driving
yes.
back and forth.
I was the happiest driver ever.
Was
driving.
There air conditioning in the car you're driving?
Oh,
you experienced. Yeah,
it was a brand new at the time.
What was the heaviest pound product were you carrying?
Yeah, they were car parts. I drove a Scion TC. No, not a TC. What's the boxy
Scion.
Thing?
XB.
I drove that around.
Scott has one of them.
I got three of them. Purple, pink, and aqua.
Oh, I took so much advantage of that.
Charlotte Hornets over there. That's interesting. Beyond. That's funny, the two jobs that you had, and both somehow
your parents.
Well, one you never even showed up, and the second one, it was like a forced, what do you call that, resignation?
Yeah, she made me quit.
Heck, that also does not mean a raise. All right, Gabe, what was your first job?
No, high school. My best friend at the time, his dad had like a cleaning company, like did like a little jobs here. They had like little contracts for like random places, like dentist places and like little things here and there.
Yeah.
So
like
my friend
offices.
Yeah, like, they clean like offices. Yeah, like little offices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
So my friend helped his dad most of the time anyway, and they asked me to if you know I was looking for an extra like whatever to help them with it.
Yeah.
So like it was only like, well, the one I went to, they had ran his dad had numerous other ones. I think he had like a team of other people, but like the little ones he had me and his son helped too. So like once a week, the one I did was like a little dentist place over, I forget where exactly it was at, but it was like a few hours every week. And just like, you know, he gave me like one corner of like the building, whatever. So I vacuumed, I dusted, I mopped, I cleaned like, the counters, the sinks and all stuff. And just made sure everything, you know, everything was tidy in that area. He came and monitored, and that was pretty much it. It was like nothing dramatic. I did that for like a couple years till I started college.
Oh, wow. So that was like a straightforward answer. I was waiting for the punch.
Legit.
I worked up until last week.
That's what your first job was.
It's my management. Turn.
Yeah, You didn't blow up no motor.
I know. I was kind of like, I thought you got raped. My mom canceled me forever.
Sweat in 100 degree.
He was the best employee ever.
Your boss wasn't disappointed.
You had to clean up that water damage from that story that Jimmy kicked off. This
exactly.
My my first job was I was a cook. Well, I don't know. That's actually kind of like a disrespect for actual cooks. I cooked. Yes, I was a. I wasn't much of a chef, but it was at a little deli there in Bristol Borough, right off of Route 13. So we got a lot of truckers. We got a lot of interesting people, I should say. Mm-hmm. Locals. And I would say interesting again, because they sold certain, you know, beverages or whatever. So we got
it was malt liquor, man. There were 40s in there.
It was. We were selling straight up Colt 45s, Hurricanes, Steel Reserves.
40 ounces.
That was when Cuatro Loco, Four Loco first came out. We were like a trial, right? Some guy left with like three heads and like, all right, we got to go back to the factory, see how, you know, rework this. It sold for a dollar. I'm not even exaggerating. A dollar for a big one of those huge cans. Anyway, we also sold your huge 24-ounce can of 99 cents Arizona iced tea.
Yes, still classic.
That's a corner story.
You remember the whole menu, bro?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. I remember the whole menu. It was a bodega, is what it was.
Yeah.
And they had everything. We sold everything. But anyway, so my job was to be a cook, and we made sandwiches. In Pennsylvania, we call what I guess the rest of the world calls subs. We call them hoagies. So I was making, you know, Italian hoagies, American hoagies, and then also making you're not from the area. If you're not from the area, we have cheesesteaks here. I'm sure you heard of them, but we made cheesesteaks, our version of the cheesesteaks, which is chopped up, and they
Which
is the only version. A lot of people, they go to Philadelphia and they get like the Steakums version or whatever it is. They're kind of just like patties of these really thin steaks thrown, slapped on with this whiz cheese spread and some fresh Italian bread. Anyway, so I learned how to cook. That was like one of my main things, though, out of this job. But it was fantastic because I was in high school, same thing. I was 16. I got the job with one of my good friends, Mike, and we had a blast after school. It was hilarious because you got a bunch of characters, you know, coming into this place. And they were fun. It was, to me, it wasn't really nothing negative. We had fun with them. We had great conversations with them. But they would order like some interesting stuff. Being in the cooking industry, you get like, you know, like a cheesesteak with pickles. Pickles is not something you put on cheesesteaks. No. To be clear, that's something that you put on like a cheeseburger or something like that. And so, I mean, from times that we've messed up putting extra ketchup and extra mayo, right? Because you got to understand, like, we going into this, you don't do anyone else's food but your own. Yeah. You're not a grown man where you're cooking for your wife. I was 16.
Yeah.
So what is the definition of extra? So we're being young, smart butts, and we're putting extra, like we're putting like you did you don't
totally covered in it,
yeah, because the guy gave us problems before, so now this guy is what his buns are like surfing on the
a cheesesteak and tomato soup,
yeah, exactly. So anyway, needless to say, we had fun. The job was absolutely fantastic. I actually had the job for like 2 summers, and it was the same thing. We just
you
had
smelled
fun.
Horrendous when we had to pick you
up. Yeah, and I smelled no one. Yo, wanted to pick
we
me
hated
up
picking him up.
The location that I worked at had a horrific ventilation. Mm. And not only that, cheesesteaks, a lot of people like them with fried onions. So you would grab the fried onions and throw them in onto the grill. And so the depths of your fingernails had the juice of onions that was sitting for the whole day in some like buttery stew. And then I would then go home and literally and douse my hands in bleach. That was the only way the smell would go away.
You weren't wearing a glove?
No.
Oh, wow. That's Scott's funny.
Yeah. No gloves.
Oh, man. Yeah. He was sweating on the food. It was so hot in there. I mean, when he said there was no ventilation, it was just like a fan. It was
no,
like
there was a
hot.
There was an actual like a thermometer back there, and it was hitting at 135.
It was literally finger-licking good.
Yes, sir. And it was the best. It was also cool because it was local and walking distance, so all my friends would show up and, you know, we'd hook them up with some, you know, cheesesteak fries.
Some free cheesesteaks?
Allegedly.
You used to come home.
Allegedly.
No, you used to come home and mommy would be like, go downstairs. You would just run straight into the basement and take off all your clothes in the basement. Like,
it was literally like a
your
sprint.
Clothes would just like smell the whole house.
It was bad. It was bad. We delivered a lot of interesting sandwiches. This one guy had like, they ended up making it. This was when, do you guys remember when Buffalo cheesesteaks first came out? This was like that era. This was back in 2001 to 2002, whatever it was, 2003, somewhere around there. And Buffalo chicken cheesesteaks first like hit the market and it was like everyone wanted one. Well, this one like trucker would come in and order what he called the heart attack. Man, this thing had all the meats. So it was a cheesesteak with instead of having fried onions, we had onion rings on it.
Yes. Okay?
Instead of having regular cheese, we had mozzarella sticks on it. And then have chopped up ham, chopped up turkey, and strips of bacon on the top.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean.
But no pickles.
The guy, let's just put it this way, no pickles. The guy was not fit who ordered it.
He wasn't a bodybuilder?
No. He was not fit at all. But yeah, that was my first job. It paid decent. But you know, one of the other questions I want to ask you guys: what did you do with your first paychecks? And I'll just start off since we're already talking about, you know, since I'm here. But I remember my first paycheck. I'm like, Mom, what do I do? I literally went to home. I was like, I just got like a stack of money. What do I do? She's like, your first paycheck.
She's like, stacks.
Well, $20 is a lot. she's like, well, this is your first paycheck. You just do whatever you want with it. But your next one. I want you to save half and you can spend half, whatever. So I'm like, all right. So she's like, yes, buy whatever you want. I'm like, all right, awesome, man. So I went out, of course, did like the knucklehead thing, bought like $80 sneakers and then had like $20. I got paid weekly there, so it wasn't actually that bad. And I had like $20 for the rest of the week. I was supposed to go to the movies and stuff. I'm like, oh, I went to the movies, didn't buy popcorn, bought like a soda, and it was like, oh, it was terrible. So I totally mismanaged. But I had a fresh pair of Nikes. I think they're Huaraches, actually. Yeah, that's what I did with my first paycheck. Scott, what did you do with your first paycheck?
I was saying like you, man. I bought some basketball shoes. So this is 95. I don't know if they were like
Charles Barkley's, Anthony Hardaway's, Penny Hardaway's. You bought Charles Barkley's or a pair of Shaqs?
Ooh, they had the Airs. Did it say Air on the side of them?
I bought the Shaqs when he was with
Reebok.
Russell Athletic Brand or whatever.
Oh, man.
You know Shaq still makes shoes? Like, you can still buy like Shaq.
You get them
shoes
at the store.
Yeah. Scott, we know like you have a fresh bucks pair.
I do.
The price tag is $20.
Like, I used to wear, like, no lie, like, because I used to turn my ankles a lot, but I used to wear the classic Reeboks with, like, the real high, high top.
Double baby straps?
Double baby straps all day. Yeah, but yeah, I bought some shoes, man, with my first paycheck, and then, you know, I only got a few more afterwards. Like I said, I only worked there a couple months, but who knows what I did with it? Probably bought it some clothes.
Yeah, I think that's the classic
clothes
thing.
And shoes. My first paycheck.
Well, that's what you still
didn't. Well, I didn't get paid. So
I was gonna say, I'm like, how did you buy that
first? Actually, you know what? No, my first paycheck, I went out and bought my bike parts for my Schwinn. Because I was in the middle of rebuilding my Schwinn, and I went out and bought bike parts at the bike shop.
Well, that's like very productive of you. I
was probably the first and that was probably the only first time, the first and only time I ever did that. Other than that, everything else just went to clothes and shoes.
Goose, what did you do?
Game Boys? I think I had a. Pop came home with like a GT Dino. And it was like into parts. It was like a frame and some. I remember going to the bike store and like I'm like I want this bike and
pieced
I went
it together.
Yeah, and put it together. I remember
that's
getting
awesome.
That.
Dang, another good thing.
Yeah, and then
You just did like bunny hops all.
But then that summer I saved up money and I bought my first car.
Dude, I thought you were gonna say a Ferrari. I'm like, all right, you don't have to lie to us here. Like,
oh my God. But I was 15 years old and I bought a Volkswagen Rabbit.
Volkswagen Rabbit.
What year was it?
I was 15. Oh, wow. 81.
81.
1981.
Yep.
Four speed.
Push down reverse.
Push down reverse. This thing was gray.
Navy blue interior.
The color of the exterior was called Depression. Manny, what did you do with your first paycheck?
I don't know. I think
Again, you didn't even work.
The first paycheck I ever had.
I'm only kidding,
I saved. They made me save half for books, and then I think I ate the rest of it.
Yeah. I went.
Oh, literally.
Yeah, he went to Burger King and spent it.
He went to Burger King. Like, yo,
well,
you know,
he should have got paid.
No, he's tell. You know, I used to be the supervisor. I used to be.
But that was it.
He went to Golden Eagle. That makes sense. Gabe, what did you do?
I don't exactly remember, but I'm sure I probably went to Funko Land or GameStop, whatever.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Oh my
video
god.
Video games. Funko
Land. You definitely went to Cousins Market and bought some marshmallow.
Some Funko. Wait, what's Funko Land?
You definitely bought
like some video
games store.
Oh,
he bought does everyone remember
he bought Excitebike.
Bimbo's version of the Twinkies. That's what Gabe went to Cousins Market and bought the just Bimbo versions of Twinkies. Do you remember? Look up Bimbo. It's a brand. It's not me being funny.
It's a bread company, right?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
And
yeah.
Then look up their
it's
Twinkies.
A bear looks like it. Look yeah. like it's a little bear. Like a,
that's what
like
Gabe
teddy
bought.
Bear.
Look
and
like
then
Wonder
also
bread.
Look up Cousins Market in Philadelphia. You will laugh your tail off. Anyway.
Exactly.
So we all pretty much did the same thing. Well, except for Gabe.
Typical me.
The typical, this guy went to Funko Land, which I've never even heard of. We had a sports
beyond.
Land, so it's probably the same.
No, it's a video game store. Funko Land.
Oh, it's like an arcade?
Video game. GameStop.
Like GameStop.
Electronic
Games, stuff like that. All the equipment.
Oh, it's like batting cages? Not understanding. I'm not a fan of video game. I am a fan. I can play video game. Like, give me Tony Hawk back when it first came out.
Oh,
in
sure,
the first PS1. And I can be there for hours. Or also give me like Grand Theft Auto. Anything where I'm in control. And then I like the racing stuff. Beyond that, I like your occasional Mario and, Mario Kart. But, you know, it just stopped there. So when people are talking about Funko Land, I don't know what that means. But so money after that, what did you guys do? Just out of curiosity with your money. I know I kind of said what I did, but with your money after your first paycheck, was your first paycheck kind of like, did you just blow it, or did you just blow everything until you actually had like your first like legit job?
Just blew until I got responsibility.
Not yeah. I mean,
so
like
he's
I
still
said,
blowing it.
I saved money, like I said, to get a car, and then
pretty
just
much. Irresponsible.
That was just my thing. Just
and you're still
money.
Buying cars.
Like he's doing all these noble things with his money. Scott, what did you do?
And I still don't have a penny.
Basically, I was buying like music because I used to DJ. So I only worked in between like basketball seasons. So this was pre like Napster days where you can download that stuff for free.
You just
you guys
yourself.
Know,
yes.
allegedly. But
on AOL,
he allegedly downloaded songs.
Yeah,
Scott
but
the Pirate.
It wasn't until like 19 when I was kind of forced to live on my own when I was in my freshman year in college, and I had to like actually pay real bills with money. But pre then, music and basketball stuff and clothes for the most part.
All right, so you kind of talked about working while at school. I know me and Manny kind of worked while we're at Temple. What are your thoughts about that? And did you do it, or what are your thoughts, Scott? I know you allegedly got paid for being a DJ. Goose allegedly was getting paid for his haircuts in the basement. Heck, allegedly, he was still making stickers with butterflies on them.
Yeah.
I said, give them to my girls this past Christmas.
And then, and then Manny was like, he was like an admissions administrator or something like that. He was like in a HR department.
I worked in a financial aid office.
Disciplining kids and stuff. So that was interesting. But, Manny, you worked for the girls' basketball team. This is where, get paid for that, though?
Yes and no. They bought me books. So if you want to call that payment, that was it.
That's a form of payment.
$700 for 5 months of work. Oh, real good trade off. Yeah, now
found a wife that way too, right?
Yeah, I guess it worked out that way. But yeah, they didn't pay you much as far as money wise. But I got to travel for free. I got free stuff.
Yeah,
I played basketball.
I think that was more of like an experience.
Yeah,
that was more like an internship more than this guy wanted to make buku bucks. Moving right along to dad life, what jobs wouldn't you allow your kids to have? And how did you or how do you introduce, quote, working to your kids? So I know a lot of parents introduce working in different terminology. I guess that's just kind of a blunt way to say it. But I think some people start off with like chores, helping out around the house, that, if you work towards something, you know, you can get paid, but also knowing that doing chores for the house is helping the house, because none of us get, yeah, you shouldn't be getting paid. So it's a weird thing.
But at the same time, you want to teach your child work ethic.
Exactly, yeah. And that involves with you actually going to work. But yeah, so how is that being introduced, or what's anyone's thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I had this system that I heard from Dave Ramsey's daughter. I forget her name. You probably know Jimmy.
Rachel.
But basically, I created this responsibility chart where, you know, kids don't get allowance. They need to earn it.
Yeah.
And I had a system. Basically, it was a weekly chart. Every day of the week was on there. And we even bought one with magnets, but that was like too big to put on the fridge.
Yeah, ask Heck. He can make magnets with stickers for you.
So I was introducing the kids to the concept that they need to earn like a, I didn't even call it allowance. It was just you earned this. So that worked for a while, but then I think it was just bad parenting of me. I just kind of wasn't keeping up with it. But I think, Jimmy, you might get into like, you know, kids and acting. So our kids, you know, we were pretty fortunate. We lived in LA for a couple years, and you know, we kind of just threw our kids into the entertainment industry after doing a bunch of due diligence to see if it is even like a thing that you could do. So they were fortunate to actually get an agent, get a manager, and they booked some commercials. So then I was, you know, I kind of raised them to think more entrepreneurial than to think, you know, they need to go the traditional route. You know, you got to only go this way and work a job like, you know, most kids are taught.
Yeah.
So for me and my wife, I guess more so me, I kind of, because I'm an entrepreneur myself, it's just trying to teach the kids to think that there's not always just one way to think of how to make a living, like to let you see the mainstream. So they've done some work and things are good. And, you know, with that, you know, we basically give them the opportunity to get like a gift, like a reward. You know, it's a fraction of what they actually made, but they'll buy some Shopkins or something, you know, from Toys R Us. You probably know Shopkins, Hector. With all your daughters.
I know Shopkins. Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
He made a step on them.
That's out. Yeah. Yeah. They heard they're worse than Legos.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just introducing them to the concept that, you know, you guys, even though you're kids, you can make a living now. It's actually, you know, for me, you know, I'm trying to teach them, you know, get a jump start. You know, you don't have to wait till you're finished college to actually start making, you know, some money. You could do it now. And that's just kind of how I do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting to me. Do they get the concept of money? I mean, I guess my question would be, where do you define, you know, working, which would be putting in forth an effort for a return of, you know, financial gain, versus someone who has, you know, like a talent or pursuing their dreams?
Oh, well, you know, I'm just exploiting their talents, you know, so... You know, I want them to make it big so they could take care of their dad. So I can just, you know,
absolutely.
Sit back and whatever. No, I think it's all about, this is fun, but, you know, it's a blessing that you actually can make some money for it. And, you know, we're putting away for college. So yeah.
So you have, like, the dual thing going there. So it's not just like, oh, let's just make a ton load of money, because, you know, in their mind, that any of that doesn't really makes much sense. I mean, how old are your daughters?
They're getting ready to turn 7 and 9. So the oldest, I mean, they both kind of understand the concept of money, you know, but they, you know, I try to basically raise them the way that I wish I was raised. Like, I wish, even though, like, my dad, he's owned some restaurants, but I was never close with my dad, but I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I didn't really take the risk that I've done now until like my late 30s, even though I've always done like side businesses.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to fast forward it with them. Let them know, hey, you can actually do these things now. Like, we were having a conversation a couple weeks ago, like after Christmas, and like we came up with this great idea of, you know, my girls, they're very, you know, creative and they can draw well. I was like, why don't you guys design your own like Christmas cards or greeting cards and low overhead? So I'm teaching them, it's low overhead. you know, you can design them, we can scan them, we can get them printed everywhere else, and then we can, you know, market them. So those are the conversations that we have in our household, which may not be, you know, typical for, you know, the majority of those. But I'm just trying to get them to think like an entrepreneur. I give them books to read and things like that, you know, to get them getting that mindset and everything. Just because, you know, I want them to be, you know, going down the entrepreneurial path, because for me personally, you know, the job thing wasn't really my calling, even though I had a lot of success at it. But I want them to know that, you know, like I said, there's another way of creating income than just, you know, what the traditional path would teach you.
Fascinating.
Yeah. CJ's going to be 8. I don't really talk too much about the money. You know, Jim gave us, for Christmas, actually gave CJ, not us, but gave CJ the 3 piggy banks from, I don't know, something from Dave Ramsey. I don't remember from what, but it was a save, spend, and
give.
So, you know, he puts money in that, and the first time he kind of got introduced to money was when he had to give it away, which was not this Christmas that passed, but the one before. Mm-hmm. The give all of a sudden turned into, no, I don't want to. Why am I giving something to somebody? So that was the first time that he kind of let me know that, you know, the value of money. He understood the value of money.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, I don't really talk too much about it. I think, you know, being sometimes naive is very blissful, you know?
Yeah.
For right now, he's starting to understand the concept. Like, I actually went through a balance sheet with him. You know, I'll ask him questions. I said, CJ, you know, if your rent is $100, and, you know, you sold, you know,
you don't live in America.
and you sell a pack of cards for, you know, 10 pack of cards, $30 a piece, and your rent is, you know, $100. And, you know, how much did you make? You know, how much total revenue did you produce? So I'll start using terms like that because he likes it.
Yeah.
And he'll start asking me questions, and I'll keep adding on to expenses. I was, well, you got to pay your employees. How much are you paying your employees? He's like, oh, well, you know, $5 an hour. And I said, okay, well, what if an employee wants $10 an hour? What do you do? He's like, fire him. I was like, no, that's not what you do. So, I mean,
oh, he's a boss.
Yeah. So we'll have those conversations now. But as far as like money, actually, he has no idea how much is being spent on him. And it's probably bad parenting on my behalf. So he should, you know, try to understand a little more. We say like, oh, you don't realize what, you know, what we do for you. And it's like, yeah, of course, when you throw up on him like that, of course he's not going to understand. Yeah. He feels bad because you're yelling at him, but I don't think he really understands or gets it. So I don't know. I guess that's a process.
That's awesome. I like the contrast there, the two different sides. So moving on to our last segment, what would you guys say to either a younger you, or whether it's, you know, someone you know, whether it's someone you don't know, a kid, a cousin, maybe a neighbor's kid that's going to their first job? What, you know, piece of advice would you maybe give them, not only just about the job, but also about maybe their first paycheck or, you know, paychecks after?
The job, as far as the job's concerned, be the best at it. Yeah, regardless of what you do, even if you're a McDonald's hamburger flipper, be the best McDonald's hamburger flipper. Make the best sandwiches, because that trait right there, and that kind of discipline can be taken across the board, any walk of life, in any career, as long as you try to be the best at it. You'll get recognized for it. You'll be, you know, compensated for it. People will take notice. So just be the best at it, whatever you do, no matter what it is.
Yeah, do the best you can and have fun while you're doing it. It's your first job. It's not your career.
Yeah.
So just have fun at the same time. Like we all had jobs with our buddies, so it's not to take serious, but at the same time, like you said, stay focused, do the best you can, but have fun as well.
Yeah, I think just the most brief thing, I guess, just filling out the application, if there is one, or handing in your resume. Not sure at what, you know, point of time you're actually doing this, it being your first job, because nowadays some kids don't even get a first job till literally they're they have their master's degrees at a high school or a college. Is knowing when you're filling out that application, it's a job, and that's the point, is to work.
Right.
It's not just to sit there, you know, like you're helping someone achieve something, you know, for whatever it is, whether, you know, it's a product or a service. So you are there to work, but, you know, just kind of piggybacking off what Goose and Manny are saying is do the job, you know, do it to the best you can. Again, it might not be, there's not like your end all answer or whatever, yeah. but just know that karma is always in full effect, which is, yeah. you know, in other terms, the law of attraction. And what you put out is what you get back. So you yeah. never know, even though you might stink at the job or even if the job itself stinks, you never know what that can actually lead to. And I'm not even talking about necessarily mm-hmm. maybe for that company. It could be that person or someone. Mm-hmm. Just remember, someone's always watching you. Yep. Yep. And I'm not talking about cameras. I'm talking about people are...
Big brother's watching
you. Yeah, big brother's watching you. This anyway, so this thing that... You want to have that kind of thought process, though. I know there's times when, you know, I was feeling sluggish at particular jobs that were just kind of like I was doing it for the paycheck, just trying to get things through. And me and Kel were, you know, saving up for our wedding and a house or whatnot. I would think, what if right now they're doing a special on you and how you did your job, and all yeah. of a sudden there's a video crew behind you? How would you perform? Absolutely. Don't be contradictory in how you know how you view life. If all of a sudden you're going to change how you're doing, why weren't you doing that in the first place?
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I would say have fun, you know, do what you have to do, but have fun. But just also understand this is the foundation of the rest of what you're going to do for the rest of yeah. your life. If you're lousy and you're a slack off and you're a terrible employee now, that's what you're going to have. And if you're an entrepreneur and you're like, oh, I don't like to work for anybody, those are the employees you're going to have. Karma is always in full effect. If you're a crappy employee, that's who you'll eventually hire, because it has to come back in some way. So be at least a good employee. Yes, if you're an entrepreneur, get through it. Just do it. Just do your job. And then that way, later on, you don't have to worry about none of that. Open up your own business. Be a boss. Do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, it's all a learning experience. Like yeah. you'll learn. You'll know if you're going to be an entrepreneur. You know if you can handle, or that's what you want to do, or that's what you want to be. But it's all... It's all a learning experience. You're going to take that with you forever.
Sure. Also, take notice onto the things that you don't like. I know a lot of stuff is like, man, if I was ever a manager, or if I was ever a boss, or if I ever owned, I would never treat my employees like that. Mm. Or I would always give them bonuses when this guy never gave me a bonus. Or yeah. I would always, you know, acknowledge them, what a great job that they're doing, when this guy never did, or whatever. Those are all little things. I know that sounds like a lot if you're just 16 and you just want, you know, a few bucks. But it's things that you pay attention. All that stuff will come naturally. I'm just saying, you know, for the person that's more, I guess, introverted in a sense where they're just taking in things, information all at once.
Don't take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
I just from me working at the bar, like owning the barbershop, I had a kid that would come in. He's 13 years old. He's been working there. He's 17 now. He's been working there since he was 13. As he got older, he thought he knew it all and would just like, mm-hmm. like give us excuses on not coming to work. He was telling me he got another job. Come to find out, he never had another job. Just didn't want to come to work because he was like, oh, I just got done school. I just want to chill. He would call and text in and like, oh, I got work somewhere else. And then his mom would call in like, yo, where's he at? Is he there? I'm like, he hasn't been here in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, and then your credibility is gone. You start lying and start making stuff up. If you don't want to be there, just be upfront. Just tell the truth. Be honest. And then you just move on from there. Don't, like, leave people hanging. Don't burn bridges. Don't, like, just, like, Manny not show up. I mean, it worked well. It worked all right for him. But, like, sometimes your next job, it can reflect on you. They're like, oh, right. Where'd you work at
last? That hiring manager could go to the next job. Yeah,
where'd you work
job?
At last? Like, and then how'd you leave them? And blah, blah, blah. And right. you can lose out on that opportunity.
Yep. Here's the advice that I would give to my younger self. Just to me. I wouldn't give it to others. It wasn't my first job, but it was one of my first ones. I was a senior in high school, and I was graduating, and I would give the advice to go to senior week, because I didn't go because I was scheduled to work. All my friends went, had a great time, and I was going to, the only reason why I would give myself this advice, because I was going to quit anyways, because I was getting ready to go into college, and I was playing college basketball, and we had, in like a week after like senior week, I was going to quit, planning on quitting anyways, because we were going to go through summer drills and all that stuff. So anyways, the only reason I say that is because my friends still kind of, you know, rubbed me, you know, hey, all the good times I missed out just because I was working some job at this little pizza parlor that I probably ended up not even going in the whole week that I was supposed to anyways, thinking, oh man, I'm missing out on all the fun you guys are having. But anyways, I'm saying that lighthearted, but yeah, definitely I echo everything you guys said about it. Even though it's your first job, there's so much you can learn from it. Take it seriously. Do the best you can. So even that same pizza place that I ended up, you know, that I said I was working at, I remember the big guy was coming in. I guess he's the owner. He had multiple franchises. And the manager, you know, they had this task to do. And I knew it was coming because I heard about it. And it came to me. And the only reason why they came to me is because they knew I was like probably the best employee because I listened and I wouldn't give them a hard time. And the task was going outside, sweeping up all the cigarette butts. So because the big owner's coming in. So I'm out there pissed off, like, man, because I wasn't like most people were like, oh, I'm not doing that, you know, give them a hard time. But, you know, I would never do that, you know, because yeah. I knew, you know, this is, you know, even though it's not probably in a job description, but, you know, it needs to be done and everything. So anyways, I missed senior week because I was working, man. Missed out on those memories, but it's probably a good thing I didn't go anyways. Probably something would have happened that shouldn't have happened.
Just say, yeah, everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
All right, cool. So let's close this episode up with three quotes, one from Joseph Campbell. If you don't know who he is, it is very important that you look him up. Aristotle and Confucius, I'm sure those two names ring a bell. And if you don't know either of them two, also look them up. So from Joseph Campbell, I think the person who takes a job in order to live, this is to say for the money, has turned himself into a slave. And the next one is by Aristotle. I know. I'm telling you, read any material. I'm not even saying you have to read a book or just watch a video on Joseph Campbell. This dude's thought process will blow your mind away. All right, so the next one by Aristotle. Pleasure in the job puts perfection in the work. And the last one by Confucius. Choose a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. There you have it. Goose Heck, Manny, Gabe, myself, Jimmy Lee Velez here with Scott Free DeVore. This episode titled My First Job. In this episode, we discuss our first jobs, how we landed them and why, what we did with our first paycheck, our kids and their first jobs, conversations with our kids about working and managing money, and our advice for someone attaining their first job. We wrap the episodes up with quotes from Joseph Campbell, Aristotle, and Confucius. Thanks again for joining us. Guys, don't forget to visit the website, jimmyleevelez.com. Follow the blog. If you have any inquiries or questions you would like for us to answer on a future episode, just email us at info@jimmyleevelez.com. And on behalf of myself and the rest of the crew, we wish you massive success. And until next time, adios.
The Rotated Views podcast was produced for self-development purposes. Thank you for the love and support. We truly do hope you enjoyed the views.